Hey team, welcome to Rewriting Wellbeing, the Teacher's Health Podcast, the show that helps you thrive and not just survive, both in and out the classroom. Let's get into it. Hello, welcome back to the podcast. I hope you're good. I hope everything is well with you in your world. It has been a bit of a busy week here at the Teacher's Health Coach, I won't lie. I even went out for a curry last night on a Thursday of all nights. Who do I think I am? So I am feeling a little bit more tired today, but I'm buzzing for this episode. It's something that I think is going to be really impactful for you with your health and well-being as a teacher. In fact, it's the closest thing that I can think of that would be like a secret or a silver bullet to making a change with your health and well-being as a teacher. And quite simply, it is take imperfect action. Now, this is something that I've been thinking about a lot recently in my own life, and it's something that I've been trying to embody and practice more. For example, when I do a podcast or when I put out a post, if I or if the post isn't quite right, or if I spot a typo after I've posted it or whatever, I'm trying not to get too bogged down in being a perfectionist and ultimately take imperfect action. Now, there is quite a lot of irony here that we have to acknowledge, because as teachers, if we're honest, we are promoting a growth mindset on a daily basis, basically, aren't we? We are encouraging children to make those marvelous mistakes and to try something and to fail and to get up and to try again. We know as teachers that that's literally how we learn anything, right? Yet when it comes to us as adults in our personal lives, if we're being honest with ourselves, we don't often live by our own advice. We're not very good at applying a growth mindset as adults. Now, when a child comes to you in September, you don't expect them to already be able to achieve the curriculum objectives or the KPIs or whatever you call them for the end of that academic year, do you? You know that to get that child from A to B, they're going to have to start off being, quite honestly, not very good and a little bit bad at whatever it is that the skill is that you're teaching them. And this could be, I don't know, times tables, handwriting, fine motor skills, like, you know, whatever it is that we're talking about. But through your teaching and through learning, and your encouragement and practice and support and repetition, they're going to improve a little bit by Christmas. And then by February and April, they're going to be a little bit better. Then by June and July, hopefully they've, you know, embedded the skill and they've mastered it and all that good stuff. But the truth is, we don't get great at something before being pretty awful at it at the start. We have to be a bit bad to get great at anything. Now, the exact same thing is true for you with your health and well-being, whether that's your habits, your stress management, your relationship with food, setting boundaries, your fitness levels, whatever it might be. The progress you are looking for is in the process of practice. And as teachers, we understand the brain side of this. We understand neuroplasticity, the act of rewiring the brain through that positive practice and repetition. We get how that all works, but rarely do we employ that growth mindset so much ourselves. So just to reinforce this point, I'm going to use a really silly example. Let's say a child comes to you again in September and they don't know their seven times tables, for example. Imagine that if on that first day you sat them down with no preparation, no support, no real teaching, and you asked them to recite their seven times tables. Are they going to be able to do it? Of course they can't, right? Because that's going to be putting the cart before the horse. And what's more, if you're constantly asking them to do something that they can't do and they haven't practiced and haven't got the support and encouragement for, basically you're asking them to be perfect, aren't you, without the practice, they're going to start to feel pretty awful for it, and they're going to start to beat themselves up, they're going to lose confidence, and they're going to feel completely discouraged to try again. Now, I hope you're seeing the link here between that child and you with your health and well-being habits. Now, how do we do it then? How do we put imperfect action in place? How do we improve our health and well-being if we feel like we've failed a million times already? Well, we have to implement that imperfect action mindset. It's the only real way to overcome the barriers that you're facing. So we do the thing, and you do the thing before you feel ready, and you do the smallest version of that thing that you can, and you do it even when you can't be perfect with it. So I'm going to give you another example. There's a really good parable about a pottery teacher trying to share this exact lesson of imperfect action with their class. So at the beginning of the month, the pottery teacher splits their students into two groups, and she tells the first group that you've got 1 month to work on one pot and to make it perfect by the end of the month. So they get one lump of clay, they have one pot that they work on to be perfect, right? They have to be perfect with it. Now, with the second group, she tells them to create one pot every single day. And it doesn't matter how that pot turns out. We're just going to practice with that pot. And they're going to be judged on their final best pot. Which group do you feel creates the best pots by the end of the 30 days? Is it going to be the one that focuses on perfection for a month? Or is it going to be the one that focuses on the process and the quantity of repetitions and practicing the skill? Now, another really practical example of this is me and this podcast. Now, I'm definitely not an expert. I'm definitely not amazing at podcasting. I make mistakes. The sound quality is not as good as it could be. But I'm a heck of a lot better than when I first started. And I know this for a fact because we went out the other weekend and a friend said to me that the podcast is getting better and it's improving and they're quite enjoying it. Shout out to Alex, by the way. He's a teacher as well and just a genuinely lovely bloke. But he told me that he can see the difference and that things are getting better. And this is literally it. I took imperfect action with the podcast. When I go back, and I don't like to, but when I go back and I listen to episode number one, I'm very nervous. I'm not very confident. The sound quality is a bit crap. I'm not really talking very coherently. The podcast isn't very good, but I took imperfect action. Now, in the beginning, you are not going to have all the answers with your health and well-being. You're not going to be skilled at this thing. And that's okay, because there is beauty in being a beginner. You're a novice. The only expectation is going to be the expectation that you put on yourself. So you need to cut yourself some slack. You need to appreciate that you are simply practicing this skill and enjoy the freedom that comes with being a beginner again. You don't need to be good at it. No one is judging you except you. Now, there can be times where we feel like we don't know what we need to do, right? So we can feel like there's so much information out there and it can be really overwhelming, and I totally get that. So if you ever feel completely stuck with whatever it is that you're wanting to achieve, I want you to use this really simple test for it. Ask yourself, if your closest friend had this problem or wanted to make this change, whatever it is, what steps would you tell them to take? Now, if you can answer that question, you already know what you need to do, but there's something else holding you back. Now, this might be the fear of failure. It might be the expectations of others. It might be a lack of self-belief. It's probably going to be perfectionism, though. And that's basically another representation of fear. So all of those things, fear of failure, expectations, lack of self-belief, perfectionism, they're all fear resurfacing in a different way, basically. Perfectionism is a way that we cover up a fear of failure, because by being a perfectionist, we often don't do what we need to do because we can't get it perfect, and therefore we don't see ourselves failing. It's the opposite. It's a fixed mindset, basically. So if that is you, if you really do resonate with either struggling to make a change or waiting for perfectionism, let's just go full circle back to the lesson at the start of this podcast. Take imperfect action. The truth is, you are very rarely going to be able to be perfect. Now, there's a really good rule of thumb that I want to share with you quickly. It sort of says that 70% of your days, your habits, your actions, whatever it might be, are going to be pretty average. They're going to be a 6 or a 7 out of 10. So 70% of your days are going to be pretty mediocre, average, not much to write home about kind of days, right? 20% of your days are going to be really tough and things will get on top of you. You'll feel overwhelmed. Teaching will take over your life temporarily. And they're going to be your not so great days. I don't want to call them bad days, but they're poor days in lots of ways. And then 10% of your days are going to be great. They're going to be a 9 or a 10 out of 10, you know, what we'd call perfection. These are the days where you feel like eating well, going for a run, saying no to that person, setting that boundary, leaving work at work, whatever. So if you wait for only those 10% days to do anything, to take any action, you'll never be consistent with your healthy habits. And if you're never consistent with your healthy habits, you'll never get anywhere with your health and well-being. It's all about consistency. Now, consistency does not mean being consistently perfect. Consistency means taking imperfect action, doing the smallest possible version of that habit. In the team, we call this the minimal effective dose. If you want to get into running, can you go out and can you run between every other lamppost for 5 minutes, for example? It is the smallest possible bite-sized version of it. And when we think about taking imperfect action, we're thinking about doing the thing before you feel ready, doing the smallest possible version of that thing, like I say, and doing it even when you can't be perfect with it. Something I talk to clients about all the time is exactly this. It's the fact that if you were to be a 10 out of 10 I don't know, what's a classic example? You start again Monday. On Monday and Tuesday, you're a 10 out of 10, and that gives you a score of 20 for the whole week. If you were a 6 out of 10 for 7 days, this is going to ask me to do maths, I think that's 42. If you were a 6 out of 10 for 7 days, you'd get a score of 42. So by being a perfectionist, you get a score of 20. By being, you know, focusing on being consistently good rather than occasionally perfect and taking imperfect action, you are going to be a 42 out of however many, out of 70, whatever it is. So just a few examples there of how taking imperfect action can really impact your life and how it can have a massive, massive impact on your health and well-being. So that's the lesson for today. Take imperfect action. Do the thing even before you feel ready, even when you don't feel like it, and do the smallest possible version of that thing. Anyway, hope this has given you a bit of inspiration before the weekend. Hopefully it's given you something positive to ponder over the weekend. Have a great one. I really, really do hope you have a lovely one, and I'll catch up with you very, very soon. Take care.